In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As you look at your life, what are your attitudes or points of view where over the years you changed 180 degrees? In other words, what are the positions that you once fiercely held and now think exactly the opposite? I can think of several firmly held positions of mine that have been completely reversed. For example, when I was a teenager growing up in Wisconsin, I was raised Roman Catholic and felt that Catholics were going to heaven and Protestants were going to hell. At the time, I was dating a Lutheran girl who felt equally strongly that Protestants were going to heaven and Catholics were going to hell. In spite of these religious differences, we managed to be good friends. She taught me how to dance the polka, and we had fun going to dances together. However, when we discussed religion, we expressed our fiercely held positions. One day, when we were riding the bus, we got into one of our religious arguments. Very firmly, she said, "The Pope is the Antichrist." I responded just as vigorously, "The Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth." You can imagine the scene and what the other people on the bus thought about these two crazy teenagers. My Lutheran girlfriend and I remind me of the apostles in today's gospel passage. The apostles see someone who is not among the group of Jesus' disciples, but who is casting out demons in the name of Christ anyway. The apostles tell him to stop it. As the apostles see it, unless a person is a member of their group, their tribe, he is an outsider. And as an outsider, he is not among the saved. In the view of the apostles, there is something wrong about that outsider using God's power to do good in the world. In response, Christ defends the outsider and rebukes the tribalism of his apostles. "Whoever is not against us is for us," Jesus tells the disciples. The outsider has not joined the disciples, and he doesn't know the doctrines or customs the disciples are learning from Jesus. But in Jesus' view, he is still one of his own. In Jesus' view, the outsider counts as one of those who come to the Father, even if he is not an official member of Christ's disciples. Then Jesus gives an example of those who are not following his way. It is those who draw children away from the Lord, or who make the vulnerable and helpless worse than they otherwise would be. Those would be better off being dropped into the sea with millstones around their necks, he says. And so we can reflect that Judas was a member of the official tribe of Christ's disciples, but in the end, Judas was not one of Christ's own. Real membership in the group of those who are Christ's own depends on being for Christ and being for those he loves. Now let's return to the example of my Lutheran girlfriend and me and ask some questions. First, where did these teenagers get their views? Why did she think Catholics were going to hell and Protestants were going to heaven, and why did I believe exactly the opposite? The answer, of course, is that we learned this as children. We didn't make it up or arrive at these convictions by ourselves. We were taught this by our parents and religious instructors. The views that my Lutheran girlfriend and I expressed were fairly common for over 400 years, from the time of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century up until Pope John the 23rd called the Second Vatican Council and declared that the religious war between Catholics and Protestants was over. Pope John invited Lutheran, Anglican, and other Protestant leaders to attend the Vatican Council. And then Protestants and Catholics all over the world began to treat each other as brothers and sisters, to meet for ecumenical discussions and to attend each other's worship services. It was a 180-degree change in the way that Protestants and Catholics viewed one another. As youth grow into adulthood, they need to establish a sense of identity, and this is good. It is good to affirm one's ethnic, racial, and gender identity. Every nationality and ethnic group is beautiful. Every race is beautiful. Every gender is beautiful. We are all God's children, and God has created this wonderful diversity in the human condition. This is good. The problem is when I denigrate someone because that person is different from me. The problem is when I stigmatize the other and say the other is inferior to me or outside of the realm of God's love. This is what the disciples in today's gospel are doing, and Jesus calls them on it. The great revelation of Jesus Christ is that the Son of God became one of us, and that all people are created in the image and likeness of God. This means that all people, Protestants, Catholics, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, and people of all faith traditions deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. Often we need an official teaching from our religious leaders to help us break free of centuries of religious misunderstanding, which is what happened because Pope John the 23rd called the Second Vatican Council. Not only Catholics were changed, but Protestants as well. In the Episcopal Church, we can be grateful in our lifetimes that our church has steadily expanded its teaching and practice of welcoming and incorporating women and LGBTQ and other marginalized people, people considered as other and formally excluded. And our church continues to lead by repudiating all forms of discrimination and prejudice. We are coming to realize that many of our prejudices are unconscious. For example, often we do not recognize how we hold attitudes contrary to Christ regarding those we consider other, or how, as, for example, white people, we benefit from white privilege. Today's gospel is therefore a call to look at our attitudes toward those different from ourselves and to recognize those we consider the other also as our brothers and sisters. Amen.